Thank you, Alan, just for today's service and the Lord speaking to us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for everybody that's in here. We thank you for our families, and we pray that you will speak to us this morning. Come meet with us, change our lives, change our hearts, change our minds, to help us to reach out to other people to glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. One thing you'll get to know from us is we're kind of open books as a family. And I do have to tell you, as an open book, I love jokes. And you guys are going to be blessed with some of my jokes. I think they're the best jokes in the world. My kids, on the other hand, like, "Dad, are you kidding me? No jokes, Dad. But I love jokes, so we're going to start off with a few jokes this morning. Since it's Valentine's Day week. What does, or did, the pig farmer get his wife for Valentine's Day? He got her hogs and kisses. Because, you know, if you're a pig farmer out there, don't get your wife hogs and kisses. What do young volcanoes, yes, volcanoes, the erupting mountains, what do young volcanoes get for their grandmoms or give to their grandmothers for Valentine's Day? They send them lavagrams. Lavia a lagram. Okay, you guys didn't get that. That was an original, just so you know. Yeah, that explains that one, right? And then finally, where do high heels or shoes take their first date? They take them to the football. So that's Valentine's and Super Bowl Sunday. Do you see how I did that together? Football, Super Bowl Sunday. Anyway, this morning, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start off in looking at the book of James. It's going to be a series going through James. And why I really like James to me is one of those books, personally, that is an anchor point. In life, we know that the deceiver is very active, right? And in life, sometimes, maybe you guys aren't like this, but sometimes I think to myself, what if I'm wrong? What if I am wrong about what I believe of who Jesus is? What if I'm wrong? And Satan can use doubts into our brains that filters through our mind. And this, James, for me, is an anchor point of my belief in Christ. I have to get my glasses out. Because why? First, let's step back and look to see who James was. Who was James? James, the beginning of James, James 1. Open our Bibles to James 1, and we'll be jumping around a little bit. But James 1, he starts right off and says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get a little background on James. James, the brother of Jesus. Now, some people throw out that this was not the brother of Jesus, and there's all sorts of debates, but historically, through ancient, you know, rising up through the early church, early Jewish writers also held to the fact that this James that wrote this letter that we find in our scriptures was the half-brother of Jesus. And James in Matthew 13:55, and then which lists out, and we won't turn there to read everything because I only have 75 minutes this morning. Is that what you said, Roger, 75 minutes I have? So Matthew 13:55 pulls out and lists Jesus' brothers by name. And James is listed in those names of brothers. And specifically in John chapter 7, verse 2 through 5, we see James' brothers here, or Jesus' brothers, actually mocking Jesus because he was saying who he was as the Messiah. They didn't believe it. And Scripture points out in verse 5 that Jesus' brothers did not believe who he claimed to be. Wow. So Jesus' own brothers, James, who we find writing this letter to the early Jewish church, was a non-believer years before of who Jesus claimed to be. All of a sudden then, what happened? What was the difference that we find take place from James, a non-believing Jesus' brother, to being James, a leader in the new Christian church in Jerusalem? What do we find happen? Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 14. James and the brothers of Jesus, after Jesus' crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, in the beginning of Acts, we see that James and his brothers are now meeting with the apostles and Mary together in prayer in the beginning of Acts. So all of a sudden we see James over here as a non-believer. I do not believe who you say you are, Jesus. You're my brother, my half-brother. I don't believe what you're saying. Over here we see James praying after the resurrection. And Paul tells us why in 1 Corinthians 15:7. And actually, I do want to turn to that one. 1 Corinthians 15:7 says this, and this is Paul saying, "Then he appeared, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and at last he appeared to me also." So we find that Jesus, being resurrected, appeared to James. Not the apostle James. It's very clear. We see that he appeared to the apostles, and now he also appeared, and it's very clear that he appeared to James. If your brother, who you saw was murdered, beaten, thrown into a tomb, all of a sudden is standing in front of you and other people, would that change your world? Absolutely. Absolutely would change your world. It took James from a non-believer to a believer on who he said Jesus was as the Messiah. And then James, as we continue forward, James, as Paul calls out in Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, that Paul would go, when he went to Jerusalem, he went to see Jesus' brother, James. He calls him out as a pillar of the Christian church in Jerusalem. So that's the background of James, where we sit right now. And we go further also because James also was martyred and held to his faith of trusting who Jesus was as the Messiah, from non-believing just a couple of years before to then dying for the sake of and the cause of Jesus is the Messiah. To me, that's an anchor point. When we see society tell us all sorts of things about Scripture today, oh, you can't believe that, and we have the recoding, and what do they call it, the reconstructionist of the Bible. This word, the Bible, is true. And we have to hold to the truth of Scripture. And when you find doubts that are taking place, I come back to an anchor. This is one of those acts. And it's just, this just wasn't found here in Scripture, but also from other Jewish writers. And actually in 2002, they found a stone, almost like a tomb or, you know, one of those things. In 2002, they found an inscription on a stone, almost cavern, that held bones that said James the Just. And that's just James. James was known as James the Just. So, beginning of James. We're going to read through 1. I'm just going to read 1 through 5. Or 1 through 8. and then we'll break that down a little bit. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings, he says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all that he does. James here is writing to whom? He's writing to the scattered Christians, the early church, maybe the very first church, right? In Jerusalem. So, they're scattered. Why are they scattered? These Jewish Christians are scattered, and they it doesn't call out here in James, but probably because Stephen in the early church was martyred. The early Christians saw this, the Jewish Christians, and they scattered. They're like, I don't want to be killed. I don't want to be next. So the Jewish Christians here in the church all scattered. And they went out into the hills, and they went to the countryside, they went to other countries, and they bumped around to where they were going to be, because they were undergoing what we see there as a trial. And these Christians were undergoing this trial, and James is writing to these people, these Christians, and saying, guys, my fellow brothers and sisters, in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I'm sure you're human in here. When we find ourselves in trials, are we all like, woohoo! Are trials going on? I know I don't. You know, how many times, even the other week, we took our van, our son called and said, hey, we got this special thing we want to do, and we want to surprise everybody. And so we got the family together, we all hopped in the van, and Justin said, Dad, no, I'm driving, you can't know where we're going, and we drove down to Shady Maple. He had some concocted idea. So we went down, and he gets out of the van, and Dad, the tire's flat. A simple trial, but yet it's a Saturday night, dark, no one's around, the beginning of a trial, and it's the old Chevys with the thing in the underneath. You can't crank them down. They're all rusted. So that was a whole other thing, but we won't get into that. But these trials take place in our life. And James is telling the early Christians here, consider it joy when we run into trials. Joy. Why? And there's a correlation here of trials with people. And the trials in Greek here, as we get through James, there's two trials that we're looking at. We're looking at an external, an attack from the external. And then we're also looking at trials in the Greek. It's the same type of thing, but an internal trial. This one is talking about this external trial that's happening externally to these Christians. So the correlation is, as individuals, we face trials. So if individuals face trials, what's the church made up as? The church is made up as people. So if people are facing trials, then all of a sudden now our church is facing trials. And James is telling us, consider it pure joy when we undergo these trials. There's a study in 2019, there were 4,500 Protestant churches in 1 year that closed their doors. 4,500 churches. There was some of them probably needed to close down with doctrine issues, but 4,500 churches, and there's they said there's about 3,000 churches that probably started. So what we're finding and what we see in America today, especially, we don't even know the counts after COVID and many churches continue to close. There's trials going on as Christian believers in our nation, in our communities, in our churches, in our lives. These trials are taking place. And what does James tell us to do? James tells us in verse 4, perseverance. Go to verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What's the trial's job when we go through trials? As people? When we go through trials as a church? What's the trial's job? One, to keep our faith pushing forward and persevere. Do not give up on who Christ says he is. Keep that anchor point. We continue to persevere through a trial. Through that perseverance, the outcome is maturity. As Christian individuals, and I don't care if you're 80 years old, and I don't care if you're 5 years old in here. It applies to all of us as individuals. Perseverance through trial should bring us into this mature state in our relationship of who Jesus Christ is, to minister to other people, to reach lost people, to have more knowledge and wisdom. That's what James is telling us to do. Persevere brings to maturity. Now, there's a guru out there, Dale Carnegie. Have you ever heard of Dale Carnegie? Dale Carnegie is a business guru that started years ago in self-help books, and it has good programs for salesmanship and how to be a positive thinker. And like Zig Ziglar would pull stuff from Dale Carnegie, and so all, and they still have the classes and courses and all this stuff to be a self-help for you. He said this, Dale Carnegie: develop success from failures. Discouragement and failure are two of the surest stepping stones for success. Discouragement and failure. Well, Dale Carnegie is pretty much stealing the information that James provided him, because the scriptural, the biblical principle that James is telling us, just in the modern day terms of self-help books. Why? Because it's talking to the individual, just as James was talking to us as individuals. That we, and we're going to be hit with these trials. James is telling us this is the growing church. People, Christian believers, do not give up. We need to persevere. We need to continue. Put your boots on, get tighter, and keep walking. Keep pushing forward and persevere. Because in the perseverance brings us to maturity. That's the goal. To bring us to maturity. Five through eight here. One thing that we can ask, if any of you lacks wisdom, and this is powerful, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God to give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts, like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that man should not think he will receive anything. And then it goes on to verse 8. if we are undergoing trials, we all do, we're told that we need to persevere and continue to push forward. And through pushing and through that walking and through that trusting in Christ in and relying on biblical principles to get through this trial brings us into this maturity. James is saying, but if you're lacking wisdom, what should we do? What should we do as an individual? What should we do as a church? James is saying, ask for wisdom. Wisdom. And believe that you're getting it. What is wisdom? How do you define wisdom? Proverbs. Jump over to Proverbs. I can just read it. You don't have to jump, but make note of this because this is something maybe you should look at, all of us, this week in maybe our quiet time of wisdom. Pull out this week and just understand this power of wisdom that Scripture calls out of wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs. Chapter 8, jump right to verse 12, because this is talking about wisdom as being a person. It's wisdom personified here. And wisdom in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, saying it as a person, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I, wisdom, possess knowledge and discretion. And then we jump over, and so this is kind of laying the footprint of what wisdom is. Because James is telling us to ask for wisdom and not doubt that we're receiving this. Jumping over to Proverbs 8:22, we're going to jump through some of these. I'm going to start reading this because I love Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. It's filled with so much wisdom as we see here. But anyhow, Proverbs is saying that wisdom, I, wisdom, am this. The Lord brought me forth wisdom as the first of his work. Before his deeds of old, I, wisdom, was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. I just read that verse. When there was no oceans, I, wisdom, was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I, wisdom, was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I, wisdom, was there. When he, God, set the heavens in place, when he, God, marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so the waters could not overstep his command, and when he, God, marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was the craftsman at his side. Wisdom. James is telling us that wisdom, powerful wisdom, that, yeah, we talk about wisdom and we think, yeah, we can know these things. When we look at wisdom and the power of wisdom, wisdom was working with God. God created wisdom. And before the foundation of the earth, wisdom was set into place. James is telling us, people, if you're going through a trial, Jeff, if you are going through a trial, church, individuals in the church, if you are going through a trial, consider it joy, number one. Persevere, continually walk. That's going to bring us to maturity. But if you're lacking in wisdom, ask wisdom. But do not doubt. If you ask for wisdom, we are to believe that we are receiving wisdom. Because we find that what God wants to grant us as individuals, wisdom, generously, He wants to give that to us. He wants us as individuals to understand the Scripture. He wants to put that wisdom on us, but He said, James is saying, do not doubt. Do not doubt when we pray and ask for wisdom that maybe God is the best one. No. Wisdom is at the beginning of time. Wisdom was one of the first creations, before the foundation of the earth, before its existence, God placed that. I can't even understand how God is so big, right? I don't understand how His immense power. But God in His immense power put this wisdom into existence. And the wisdom, as we look at it as a person, this power was working with God at the beginning of time. James is telling us, if you're going through these trials, there's this power here, this wisdom that you need to ask. Just, he said, when you're going through a trial, ask for this wisdom. If you're 80 years old, 16 years old, if you're 5 years old, if you're 12 years old, if you're 15, how old am I to be? 54? If you're 54, ask for this wisdom, and if we ask and we believe and we receive that wisdom without doubting, we're going to be granted that wisdom. That's my prayer for us as individuals. That's my prayer for this church, that we can ask and come before the Almighty King, Creator of the world, who set wisdom into place before the earth, before this church was ever even, the soil was ever even made in this location. Wisdom is here, and we are told to ask for wisdom. My prayer to myself is to ask for wisdom, because aren't we in a very disturbing time? Many of you in here have seen things, and now we are seeing devastating things happening with our own country that started as a Christian nation. We see devastating things happening within our church. Our churches are practicing and promoting immoral behavior, and people are feeling that. We see these things going haywire. We need to ask for wisdom. That's my prayer. So, we're going to close here in prayer, and we're going to pick up and change that week. Let's pray this morning. Father God, You love us, and You want us to love You. You want us to take care of others. You want us to help each other. You have given us at the church to help one another and to come before You and worship You and to reach lost people. There's wisdom that we have yet to even maybe touch of what You want to give us. I know, Lord, I pray for me. I pray that You give me wisdom that James talked about. I want the wisdom that we read about in Proverbs, and I pray that ask that upon this church, wisdom amongst the people here. Give this church wisdom. Give the people here wisdom. And Lord, I do thank You for every person within this church that have kept this church running. That these people here are wonderful people. And I thank you for that. Of the love that we have found here and the commitment level of getting behind something, I thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for this wisdom to come upon us and speak to us this week. Show us how we need to continue to walk and persevere to a mature state.